This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is Dukes and Bell. I love it. It goes from kid makes mistake to he grown. He ain't grown. He grown.
You answer me.
I'll say this, and I'll let this be. And your comments are welcome on social media as we talk about the situation the Falcons have had to deal with. Look, nobody up at Flyer Brands wanted to deal with this. Nobody. But they had to, and they have, and they put out a statement, et cetera, and as they said, no action is going to be taken towards Jeff Olbrich, and they'll continue to work with the NFL and any investigation that needs to be done. But I'll just simply say this. For those of you who have kids, you have a 21-year-old kid at home, they're not grown. You're paying their bills. You're paying their way. They are legal. They ain't grown. And that's the difference, Mike, where I say this is a 21-year-old man. If he was out in the world, and like you said, you left at 17, and he's making his way, and he's paying his own bills, and he's doing his own thing, different. But that is far few in between, Mike Bell, because we do know in this day and age there are more young people staying at home.
Right. No, that's true.
Ever before. So when you say I'm grown, are you grown? Are you 26 at home, and somebody's paying your bills, or are you grown? Right. There's a difference for me.
Well, I just know this. I mean, like I said, all I can go by is my own experience. Like I think we approach any issue. If I had a kid, I could speak to having a child. I don't, so I can't. You do. All I'm saying is, when I was a kid in my household, and my father had a political position with the NYPD, and he was on television. I mean, there were just things that. I mean, hell, if I'd be at a party, and somebody had a joint, I'd jump out the window because heaven forbid I get busted.
Sure,
you know. So again, I get it. Different time, different place, and things are a lot different than 1985 to where we are now in 2025. I get that. So again, all I know is it was just a situation that you've really embarrassed your father and the organization, and now people have to answer questions about you. So, hey, this too shall pass. But, man, there's a lot of people on social media that want a pound of flesh, and I got to be honest. I'm with you there. I don't know how and what you're talking about. You want to cane him like we live in Singapore?
It's ridiculous.
I mean, it's over the top.
And, again, I said this. Jeff Olbrich did not do anything wrong. As his father, he didn't. Now he's responsible because that's his son, but he didn't do this. He didn't do this, and he's got to answer for it. All right, guys, we got plenty more to dive into. It's been a busy show already, talking about our Braves, obviously, who are on the road against Colorado. We're gonna have Grant McCauley who will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, Josh Kendall's gonna stop by from the Athletic, Mike, here in about 15 minutes. To talk with us about his thoughts on this draft. We'll get his thoughts on James Pierce Jr. as well.
I mean, it really is the focal point of the draft. The crux of the draft, before we get into the sideshow of what happened with Shedeur Sanders' prank call, is most Falcon fans are really excited about this draft. Now, we did have a couple of guys hit up on the text line, didn't understand the dynamic of drafting two safeties, but, you know, you kind of touched on how it works in the nickel and the dime package and, you know, the dynamics at play. But, yeah, there'll be some guys that are not going to be in that safety room that are already on this roster, safe to say.
Yeah, and he's listed as a safety out of college. But
he can play corner.
Yeah, he's going to be our nickel guy. We're talking about, who's the kid out of
Billy Oklahoma. Bones.
Yeah, out of Oklahoma. All right, man, let's get to 4th and 1.
Keep making noises.
I have to wait.
As the computer has locked up.
Yeah, seems that way. Hey, by the way, coming up also in the 5 o'clock hour, we will break down our draft more and give you some more background on some of the guys that we picked up over the weekend. I thought they did a really good job. Let's get to 4th and 1. Mike, the biggest story, obviously, over the weekend was Shedeur Sanders, and he continues to fall. I love what you said earlier about what did he do to anybody, right? For the people who wanted to see his demise. And
right.
Again, we've been saying this for the last few months, and that's more about Deion than it is Shedeur. But either way, he finally gets taken in the 5th round by the Browns, pick 144. And Shiloh, by the way, his brother, ended up signing with the Bucks. So ultimately, you know, we'll see if he makes the team or not. But he signs as an unsigned free agent or undrafted free agent, should I say, with the Buccaneers. But this Shedeur Sanders thing. So here's what I have heard, okay? And I'm going to tell you this story. And this kind of gives you a little background of what maybe was going on. I will tell you, I know this for a fact, that there were teams who wanted to draft Shedeur Sanders before he was picked. 1st round?
Right.
Possible. 2nd, for sure. 3rd, absolutely. You got to the 4th round, Mike, and a situation played out with the team where they had him on the phone, and he's talking to them. They want to draft him. I'll let you use your imagination as I tell you this. And basically he says on the phone, well, you know, I'm really not a Northwest kind of guy. That same team ended up taking a kid from Alabama named Jalen Milroe.
Mm-hmm.
When you are trying to dictate the terms of where you're going and what you want, this is why this fall happened. This was not anybody holding him back. This was not racist. This was not the NFL and some major scheme plan or something that they had in store for him. Mike, when you and your dad are trying to maneuver where you're going to be, this is the kind of fall that happens. Everybody in their right mind knows Shedeur Sanders. And everybody I talked to at the end of the weekend said, dude, he was still on our board. And everybody's looking at us like, we're going to take him? We're going to take him? There were multiple teams who wanted to take him earlier in this draft. But because of his responses to some of these teams, Mike, right. One of these teams, I'm telling you what I know, people, Atlanta, you're not going to hear this anywhere else. And by the way, all this stuff you read is for public knowledge. This is behind the scenes. One of these teams, Mike, he said, we got another vision for me, man. We got another vision. When they're on the phone with him and they're ready to take him, and he goes,
draft him.
Well, I got another vision for me. Then his dad gets on the phone because his dad is repping him, right? He doesn't have an agent. He hasn't had an agent. I get it. All right. Dad has been there, done that. Mike, when you do those kinds of things, this is what happens.
There were reports, and again, that's why we all kind of rolled our eyes, because we've seen it before where some guys, you know, spin things out of the combine. But there were, you know, he's basically taking teams where he had no interest in going and just kind of being very dismissive in the interview process. So, guys, I know that parallels have been drawn between the Elway family or the Manning family and how Eli didn't want to play for the Chargers because the Spanos family. And that's fine, because that did happen. But even the way that this went down seems like it's beyond the racial component, which people are turning it into. It was just unprecedented, the level of hubris and ego that got involved.
Can I say this too, by the way? Black general managers passed him up earlier in this draft.
Great point. Tell somebody on ESPN
that. Well, I just want to be clear. Like, let's not assume that these are all black general managers also pass up. Now, he's ironically going to play for Andrew Berry in Cleveland, but Cleveland, they got great value, Mike. They don't have any fifth round. They don't have any. They don't have to play Shedeur if they don't want to. They picked the Gabriel kid in the right. 3rd round. My point is, he may end up being in a great spot, but let's not make this more than what it was. This was him and his dad orchestrating, hey, we don't want to come. Here's why. We don't want to do that. I'm not this guy. I'm not that guy. And his teams were calling. He kept sliding.
Yeah, and we talked about, you know, you knew something was up, like they maybe overplayed their hand at the combine. Remember when Deion said, remember that public statement, I'm not going to be involved in all of my son's NFL career. Okay. So, yeah, look, I'm a big Deion fan. Not many dads can say, I said this on Twitter, get to say they got 2 sons on an NFL roster because Shiloh gets picked up as well as an undrafted free agent. But, you know, it's just that level of hubris that alienates people. That's why there were so many folks just like with glee watching him fall. So, again, I mean, I understand the reasoning behind it. I'm not going to sit there and just take a joy in watching somebody's dream go to, you know, basically get shattered. On the flip side, we got other guys who don't want to take the responsibility for what you're talking about, that they created this situation. Yeah. I mean, look, you're just giving some NFL personnel guys an excuse to do this. And you did.
You did.
On a silver platter.
You did. Let's not make it more than what it is. Do I wish him the best? Yeah. I was the one touting that I thought he was the first round pick, and he still should have been. He probably could have been if he didn't handle it the wrong way.
Right. So, I mean, the folks that are just laughing about this, you know, take a look at yourself. And then the victimization crowd, same thing. You guys are, you're not in line here with the facts of the story, to your point.
Yeah. I was blown away, Mike, when sources told me this story about that particular. If you're going Jalen Milroe went before him, there's a reason. They'll never admit it, but there's a reason. 404-726-0929. Meanwhile, biggest takeaways from the draft, Mike, surprises outside of our team. And again, it's hard, guys, to say, oh, because let me tell you, New England had, they had like 80 picks.
Right.
And you look at New England's draft and you go, man, they got some great guys. I don't know how many of those guys are going to be stars ultimately in the league. I mean, like, so I'm looking at this in our division. I will tell you this. I actually think Carolina did an okay job. I didn't like them taking a wide receiver in that first round, but when you look at them trying to rebuild that defense, Mike, some of the things that they did in this draft, Carolina guys, if Bryce Young can play, they might be on the come.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting watching the edge rushers because we were so locked into all those names that we kept going back and forth on. Ezeraku, and you know, where was he going to go? Mike Green, we talked about the Ravens. That, you know, that surprised me how far they fell down. Aside from, you know, the Browns going with two quarterbacks, which I think was obviously tied to the biggest story of the draft. That was kind of interesting. But yeah, Jackson Dart and the Giants. Because now everybody's going to look, is Jackson Dart going to be Mitchell Trubisky?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to look back, is not a great, you know, draft? The guy that's, and the funny thing is, the guy who goes number one overall, which is normally the biggest story, is Cam Ward, and he's not even getting any headlines whatsoever.
You're absolutely right.
Because the guy who goes in the fifth round got all the ink.
You're absolutely right. Hey, Fourth and One's brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Josh Kendall from The Athletic on the way to talk to us about the Falcons specifically in our draft. Outside of, you know, the Commanders, or should I say the Carolina Panthers, Derek Carr confirms that his shoulder injury, this can't be right, Day-Day. He was speaking at a church service is when it happened?
Yes, that is, according to reports, he was speaking. It was a two-hour church service.
Well, how much Holy Spirit got in his body?
I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, apparently he felt over, you know, felt moved to share this information while speaking.
All right. I'm trying to tell him something right now, huh?
So, was this a Pentecostal church?
So they go Tyler Shook, Mike.
Yeah, which I was texting you like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought for sure that was going to be Shador Sanders. I mean, I think most of America did. But Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shook, Jalen Milroe goes to Seattle. Dylan Gabriel goes to the Browns first. We talked about Shador. Quinn Ewers goes to the Dolphins. And he goes all the way down to the seventh round, by the way. And I got to be honest. No disrespect to Quinn. I thought that's where he belonged to be. I thought the ceiling was pretty low for Quinn Ewers.
We said the projections. The injury didn't help him. And then, you know, he had a great pro day. But again, you're talking about the one little tidbit of information. But yeah, look. I'm not surprised, Mike. He was not an elite guy. He was a very good college quarterback and had really good players around him. Look, Texas put 13 guys in the league this year, right? 13 drafted guys. Georgia had more. Texas is right there behind him. My point is, like, he had a really good team, and sometimes you feel like, all right, Matthew Golden, the kid that gets drafted, one of the first receivers off the board. Like, he had some weapons that I think made him look better at times, and not just this year, even in the previous year. So, yeah, the only thing for him is, and I'm not wishing this either on Tua, Tua does get injured. That might be his opportunity to do something there.
It sounds like hype to say he's one hit away, but the way he carries the football and puts his head down, he is one hit away.
Yeah.
And you saw that last year at times. Everybody's literally holding their breath anytime he starts to move around in the pocket. So I thought the Cowboys, by the way, as we said, you're not giving grades because that, but just based on the name recognition, now only time will tell if these guys are worth a darn. But Ezeraku, you know, pile
stud.
You know, with Micah Parsons?
Stud.
That's a dynamic skill set with two athletic, you know, edge OLBs, however you wanted to classify them, guys who can make the plays.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hey, man, more draft talk and certainly discussion with you guys. Our poll question is up, by the way, at Dukes and Bell 929. You can go there asking you, do you feel like the Falcons should have been punished for what happened over the weekend? You can go vote. It's simple, yes or no. And a lot of people, my man Coach Terry, how do y'all explain Gabriel getting picked by the same team before Sanders? Well, word gets out, and they had no intentions after moving on from him earlier in the draft to go back to this. You know what Cleveland did? I want you to go do something for me, Coach Terry. Go watch the video of when they picked Shador and look at Andrew Berry's reaction and Kevin Stefanski.
Right.
The owner had something to do with this in the fifth round when they look at the board and they go, man, he's still up there? All right, we already got one. I don't care. Let's go get him.
Hey, man, we got more to dive into, too. We got a big show for you today. I love some of these undrafted free agents. There's been some guys going to Canton. One of our best players ever, Jesse Tuggle, was undrafted. We got some intriguing guys we picked up, too, Carl,
all after right, the man. Draft. Josh Kendall, we'll get his thoughts coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, the Monday after the NFL draft. It's always incredibly fun to come back and say, all right, what's this look like? What did our team do? Did we make the right moves, at least when it comes to trying to fill needs? Guys, Josh Kendall writes for The Athletic. He covers our Atlanta Falcons on a daily basis. Friend of the show, and Josh, it's good to have you back on. I want to start with what Mike and I have been talking about at least this last, you know, hour, and that is the situation with the prank call from Jeff Ulbrich's son, and the Falcons handling that situation. It's something that we did not expect to be talking about. We'll get to the draft stuff, but how do you feel about how that was handled? And the Falcons obviously are ready to move on and turn the page. What are your thoughts there?
Oh, boy. You know, I don't know that I have any strong thoughts. It sucks all the way around. I don't know. I hate to get into it. It was a dumb thing to do. The kids apologized. I'm a little more concerned as to, you know, how easily the kid seems to have gotten the number.
Okay.
Sounds like the Falcons are going to address that through, you know, I don't know, training, no punishment, no real consequences. It's not the end of the world. We all do stupid things, especially when we're young. The whole thing sucks. It's just ugly. Right. I don't think we have to make it a federal case, but it's an embarrassment for everybody involved, the team, the coach, and the kids.
Yeah, we were saying earlier, Josh, I don't know. I've seen some talking heads and some folks on social media. I don't know what you expect them to do. I mean, it's a prank call. It's embarrassing. I mean, if anything, it turns things around maybe in the court of public opinion for Shador Sanders, from people having such glee to now maybe feeling a little more empathy for him and his draft weekend. Either way, let's talk about football. The picks. I think this draft is going to certainly, however going to grade it, I don't believe in grading him now, but it's going to be all about what does James Pierce Jr. bring to this football team and how quickly does he do it?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the draft grades. We all do, including me, do a lot of analysis on the draft grades. The great thing about these things is we'll know pretty soon. Now, it's not fair to judge a guy's career by his rookie year, but you kind of know, especially with first-round picks, if you made the right call, you know pretty early. We don't have to wait until 2027. You know, we should know by October if they got what they think they got and what they've convinced, you know, what they've told us they've got. Especially with a pass rusher, especially with guys who play a position where it's not quarterback. It's not, you don't have to learn a ton. You know, Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. especially, were drafted to go get the quarterback. We should know whether or not they can do that pretty quickly, because if they can do it at all, they will stand out on this team like a sore thumb.
So it's interesting because it gets us back to last year's class, right? Rook, who we saw play a little, Braylon Trice, Brandon Dorlus. Josh, what do we know about these guys, and how do they play into this equation? Because it feels like, you know, if you really want to be honest, some of these guys that didn't play, are we getting like a, you know, we really had like 7 or 8 picks because these guys didn't play a whole lot at all, if at all, last year. But we don't know what they're going to bring.
I think that the Falcons not drafting a defensive tackle tells us that either A, they truly believe these guys are the answer, or B, they're too stubborn to admit that those were not the right picks. Again, we're going to know pretty soon. They sent Grady Jarrett, they let Grady Jarrett walk out the door. Eddie Goldman is gone. They have opened up snaps for defensive tackles to play, and they did not draft any. Now, I like Taquan Graham more than most people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impression I get. I think that he's maybe a little underappreciated. I think he can play significant snaps for this team. quality snaps for this team. I'm not sure he's the guy who's going to be your bell cow, but I think he fits into that equation somewhere. But if Ruka Roro and Brandon Dorlus don't take a significant step forward and can't play a lot of quality snaps for you,
right.
I think that that tells us that the Falcons have made two mistakes. They made mistakes when they drafted them, and they made mistakes when they wouldn't admit the first mistake and didn't back them up, because they had the potential to take a couple of difference-making, one of these Walker or Pierce picks could have been a difference-making interior player, because those dudes were around in this draft.
That's a good point. There was a couple of dudes, matter of fact, and actually a couple of DTs in the second round that certainly, if we again, had hindsight, if you stand pat at 46. Again, talking with Josh Kendall, guys from The Athletic, covers the Falcons every day. By the way, you put any stock, or should we just stop talking about a Jalen Ramsey trade? Because they'd have to obviously clear some cap space to do that. And do you only reason that's getting some juice, Josh, I guess, is because of the relationship between Jalen Ramsey and Raheem Morris.
Yeah, I don't see that being... You would have to really work to clear that type of space at this point. But when you're talking about a Jalen Ramsey level salary, they did draft two defensive backs, one of whom can play corner, or excuse me, one of whom they think can, in Billy Bowman, who can play nickel, which frees up Clark Phillips, Mike Hughes, et cetera, to play more snaps. I don't foresee a Jalen Ramsey reunion.
Do you think with the Pierce pick it was a reach? How do you feel about the process in which we went about going back into the first round? Look, Josh, I feel like this kid would have been there. We'll never know. But they had conviction to go get Michael Penix last year, and they did it. And obviously they had conviction on getting James Pierce. How did you feel about the process of going about that?
I don't love the process. I don't think any of us are smarter than the math. I think the math pretty clearly states, no matter which chart you look at, and then the Falcons are looking at their own internal charts, but no matter which chart, publicly available chart you look at, the point value was pretty weighted against the Falcons. My overarching opinion of the draft is teams get in trouble when they fall in love with guys, when they think that their evaluation is the most important thing, is more important than extra bites, than taking as many bites at the apple as you can get.
Right.
So, that for me is the better process. For me, the better process is erring toward giving yourself more chances to pick the right guy than thinking you know for sure who the right guy is. That's not Falcons specific. That's league-wide.
Right. No, they fall in love with guys. I mean, we talk so much about, Troy Anderson can't stay on the field, and Nick Benito was a dude that's been just a sack machine for the Broncos. It was taking just a few picks after, but they seem to like the combine darling. Talking with Josh Kendall, guys, about the Falcons, I am intrigued by some of the undrafted free agents. Now, I know sometimes it's a long shot, Josh, but Kobe Bryant, C-O-B-E-E, is a guy that it was surprising that he didn't get drafted out of Kansas as a corner. And then you've got Nick Nash, who basically led every single category for wide receiver. So we get the plucky white wide receiver out of San Jose State. Any of these guys of the undrafted, you feel have a chance to make the roster?
I'm rooting for Nick Nash because I think he's my age. But I think that both of those guys are intriguing picks. You always see some undrafted free agents around the league who pop. Again, this goes back to my process theory. My process is I like, volume of guys and getting your hands on guys and getting them in a pro camp, getting as many guys in a pro camp as you can and seeing who works. So, I think Kobe Bryant and Nick Nash are intriguing. I think the tight end from South Carolina, Joshua Simon, is really intriguing, too.
How do you feel about the safeties? Obviously, they didn't go corner. So, they go, and again, we know you said Bowman's going to be nickel, but, Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame in the third round, and in the fourth round, you go get Billy Bowman out of OU. Tell me what you think about that statement by the Falcons and not drafting a corner in this draft.
I think they like Mike Hughes, and I like Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes, for me, falls in the TQ Graham bucket. I think I like Mike Hughes better than a lot of Falcons fans like Mike Hughes. I think he's fine. I think if you can figure out a quality nickel rotation with Clark Phillips and Billy Bowman, and you start Jordan Fuller at safety with an eye on – sorry, there's a name that's coming by, guys. I was trying to get into a class. With the eye on getting Xavier Watts to eventually take over that job, I see the plan. So I'm not saying it's going to work, but I see the plan, and I would sign off on that plan.
Right. And, of course, the seventh rounder is almost like a glorified undrafted free agent. But you get a big body from Wisconsin and Jack Nelson. I mean, he looks like a guy that played offensive line for Wisconsin. As Carl said earlier, a lot of experience, too.
Yeah, this is like a college recruiting class for me. I don't think you should ever go a year without taking a lineman, you know, without getting some linemen, getting a look at guys, seeing if you can, you can hit a lottery ticket there and develop a guy into a starter. So I'm always going to like an offensive, defensive line pick in that spot.
Right. And, Josh, I mean, it's kind of, we did the whole interview, we didn't really talk about the number one guy, and obviously Jalen Walker just checks so many boxes. The question that people outside of Flowery Branch are going, how does he play? Where do they play him? They're going to figure this one out, aren't they?
Yeah, and they said they've been pretty definitive on that. They're going to start him at edge. They're going to let him try to be an edge rusher. And I like that. He is undersized. I get those concerns, but I like playing him at edge and letting him get to the quarterback. Because I'm not sure. I think he fits better there than an inside linebacker or safety or sort of that big nickel where he played at Georgia. I think he's got juice. I think he's, got the right makeup, as they say. And I think he can I'm optimistic that he can be a good quarterback. He can be a good pass rusher.
Great stuff. Josh Kendall, man, appreciate you stopping by. It's been a fun weekend and intriguing, to say the least. We'll see you soon, man, when it comes to being up there at Flyer Branch. Thanks again, Josh.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. I'm with him, by the way, on the process. And I'm not telling you, it sounds this way, with the James Pierce pick, that this is the guy that they had, circled, and this is what we're going to do, and it didn't matter, Mike.
They were going to take him at 15. He never answered that question when Randy asked him last week.
Well, I'm going to tell you, he's not a 15th overall pick. I'm telling you right now. And I don't think anybody else is taking him at 15.
That's just you agree, though? You think they were going to take him at 15 if Walker's not there?
I don't know. When Walker's on the board, we didn't even know if they were going to pull the trigger there. We were a little skeptical about, hey, he's sitting there. You're top five guy overall in this draft. You got
to
take it.
They took it down to less than 2 minutes.
The Pierce thing, I'm just saying, my opinion, my assessment, all right, he was going to be there. And I think if we got into the second round, we could have possibly gotten him and didn't have to do as much. Either way, we got him, and now he's here. He's our guy, and he's got to show up. All right, we got more to dive into. It's Dukes and Bill, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are glad you are here. We've been talking about Shedeur Sanders and his drop. I dropped some information for you at 3 o'clock. If you missed it, rewind. Go to the Odyssey app and check it out.
Basically, big time in a team that was prepared to take him because he didn't like the geographic location.
Mike, how do you even bring your mouth to say that when you're trying to make your way and get picked? But it tells you, again, the ego and the hubris, as we said, that's involved here, that, he could have gone way early in this draft, guys.
I mean, I see both sides of it because, again, I'm a Deion guy. I kind of like what he was doing at Colorado. He was unorthodox at the time, and now with NIL, everything's out the window. So it's a new world.
It is.
But, in the case of, Shedeur, there's a tinge of race that gets played into it because you can see how most people are just like, yeah, look at him fall. Yeah, I'll show you. And then you've also, got the other side of this. Then the prank thing goes down, and people, were losing their minds. Mel Kiper nearly blew a head gasket. I thought he was going to have a stroke. On television, because you have these valuations, and as I said, look, only time will tell. I don't know. I mean, are there guys? Has ever been a player who's got so much we thought talent and Ross talent needs to be polished up in some areas? Right, holding the football too long. But now you got to beat out Dylan Gabriel. I don't think you'll have a problem beating out Pickett. And Flacco's just happy because it's less reps for an old guy who can just,
For sure.
Wear a baseball hat on the sideline. Yeah,
he can still sling it. I mean,
but can he win this job? Because now, look, if you're that guy, it's going to, what this is going to be for Shedeur Sanders? It's going to be like a Mike Tyson's punch out. You have all these levels you're going to have to get to. And I thought it was pretty good. I thought Charles Davis.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know what you guys are watching. I basically stay with NFL Network. It's just meat and potatoes. But Charles Davis is like, how many guys have had disappointment in your life, whether it's at work and you felt you deserved something, you didn't get it, or you thought you had something, it's out the window, and you got to battle, and you got to, are you going to quit? You're going to cry? I thought Charles Davis did a nice job of breaking it down. So now, I mean, it's this kid is deconstructed, has got to build himself from the ground floor in Cleveland, and now only time will tell, because he may have the last laugh, or he may just be a great college quarterback who doesn't pan out.
Well, and real quick, go ahead. You want
to
add something?
No, to that point too, Mike, because I know you didn't watch the ESPN. I watched some of it too, and then the clip going around right now is Kiper going back and forth with Reese and Lewis Riddick. And Riddick had the, I think, was the most eloquent and just well-stated point. Like, draft is over. He got picked.
That's all that matters.
It's about the work now.
Right.
That's all that matters.
Go and put the work in. It doesn't matter where you were picked, where the first round or fifth round, you're picked now. All right, go out there and do the work now. That's what it's about.
Hey, Kurt Warner wasn't drafted. Tony Romo wasn't drafted. They found a way. Now, granted, circumstances helped in both cases, but still, you can be an undrafted quarterback and have a hell of a career.
Circumstances may help him, too. Because if they were still believing in a guy named Deshaun Watson with the money that is still allotted to him or for him, he would be sitting there. But that ship has sailed. And so now the circumstance is, Mike, okay, we just backed our situation up with two quarterbacks in this draft. We'll see which one is the best because Flacco is certainly not the long-term answer. Guys, and Flacco could start the season. There's no reason. They love him, I'm telling you. They love Flacco. He could easily start as a quarterback. But I also think, Mike, long-term, they went in on this particular draft and said, look at the value. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to take a quarterback. We helped our team in the first round. We didn't have to take a quarterback in the first or second round. We did it in the third round and the fifth round. And if it pans out, great. But guess what? If it doesn't, that's okay too. Because we didn't spend a top pick on this. And for Cleveland, as much as everybody's fussing about it, they got great value with Shador and Dylan Gabriel. And so now you can just sit back to O's point and everybody else talking about it. Now it's about the work, man, and let's see what he does. And if he wins a job, great.
The other thing is, and this was something that, I get it. I've seen so many of these, different comments and watching all the talking heads losing their minds today on ESPN this morning. I mean, now the question becomes, and this is part, I think, in addition to the hubris and maybe how they, the camp big-time teams at the combine that was reported, let alone Carl said it happened on draft day, on draft weekend.
Multiple teams.
So basically, you're calling this guy, and he's basically giving you the high hand.
Multiple teams.
Which is unbelievable. So, you get back to it, and you say, if you're a team, do you want this circus in town? Because you're going to get it. You're going to get it because that's part of it. Now, when you build your brand that way, and again, there's nothing wrong. There's different ways you get to the NFL. But when you create this kind of juice, now everybody's going to be dissecting how many snaps per practice, how many snaps in the preseason game. You're going to get all this stuff, whether you like it or not.
No, you're right about that. And how he looks. Like, he had, the balls on the ground all day today at practice. Like, all of that stuff that, we just take for granted. Like, everything is going to be dissected. You're absolutely right. Either way, that has been, obviously, one of the big stories of the draft. As we said, as we started the show today, though, many people believe we won this draft, guys. And when I say won, how much did your team improve? Listen, the Jalen Walker pick is out of this world. It's just, like we said it Friday, the football gods were in our favor. That pick, there's no way Jalen Walker should have been there. Honestly, and to have him there and all the other – you know why we discussed everybody else? Because we thought Jalen Walker would be gone.
In a million years. I think we did say, I think once or twice, you and I said, if he's there, obviously it's a no-brainer. But that was the thing. It's like, I remember we had these guys on Friday. But we've got linebackers. No. Here's the new news, okay? And again, I love the fact in the draft, and we talked about it. If you missed the interview, I thought it was one of my favorite interviews the last couple of years is talking to Jalen Walker because he's so likable. He's got so much charisma. The leadership thing, Carl. He walks in. What do you always say? What was your fantasy team? Came through dripping.
Yeah.
He's got it.
You're right.
And in the case of Jalen Walker, looking at the draft, seeing guys go, it's like, Kelvin Banks from Texas. Oh, I beat him like a government mule in the two times we played the Longhorns. Interesting. So that's where he's going to get his shot, as Josh Kendall from The Athletic told us, at edge to start.
Yeah. And that's great. And by the way, I said this. Be great at something. Right, this whole versatility thing, this was my concern. I told you guys for weeks, where are we playing him? I've been saying that. But now that he's ours, I love that Olbrich came out, our defensive coordinator, and said, look, we're going to start him there. He's going to master it. And then we'll do some of these other things. Guys, on third and long, you can mix and match and do all kind of different things. But we're talking about down in and down out. Just be great at one thing. And this is what they expect from him because he is and has been that at Georgia. Speaking of Georgia,
I just feel like size matters.
It does. We're going to talk with Connor Riley, by the way, who covers the Dogs for Dog Nation. We will talk to him in about 15 minutes from now. 13 dogs selected to the NFL draft. Connor Riley all over it. We'll talk about where some of the other dogs ended up. But look, I'm biased. I think we got the best one.
Right.
I love Mykal, and Mykal went to San Francisco. They had a desperate need to replace all these guys that they lost. They're replenishing their linebacking core.
And what a fit that is over there for him.
It's perfect. Right. But I think for us, like Mike, we got the best one under the circumstances of what we needed and how this just fits perfectly. It's like hand in glove, man, with Jalen Walker. All right. The other picks, by the way, as we've been discussing, if you're not familiar with Xavier Watts, played a lot, very experienced. Big, At safety, Mike, and is just a it's a playmaker, man. I would tell you guys, and I don't even want to say this because Jesse's done it at the NFL level, but he's kind of Jesse Bates-ish.
Yes. I mean, 13 interceptions the last 2 years, I said earlier to Carl. So I heard that stat the night he got drafted. I'm like, wow, the most in college football the last 2 years and at the highest level. So the dude's a ball hawk, coming with big game experience, playing for a big team, playing for Notre Dame to get bigger than that. So it's I love the fit. I really do. Now, again, as we said it, we discussed it and explained it, you know, why they decide to go and grab another safety. But as Carl said, it's more of a hybrid sort of corner, kind of like what Richie Grant was supposed to be a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And Billy Bowman, look, they love him. Oklahoma, I think, put two guys on that defense in the NFL that got drafted this weekend, and he was one of them. And he's not the biggest dude, like I said, but he is one of these guys that's just always around the ball. And you want guys like that. And I'm not going to dismiss, to your point, Jack Nelson. This big offensive tackle, man, seventh-round pick, Mike, he may come in here and be like one of these missing pieces as far as depth is concerned, and then maybe he grows into the role. We don't know, but I do know this. He played a lot of football. Big-time football at Wisconsin, and I will say this. You guys know this. Wisconsin always has a really good offensive line, so that's a really interesting pick for me in the seventh round. A
couple of guys said, hey, Terry ain't going to have no picks in 26. Well, they did move, obviously, the first, and, of course, they moved a fifth-rounder to move up. And, again, the only reason I can understand why they would do that is there was a market for Xavier Watts.
Yes.
And whether you consider safety and or corner, the Texans next went corner. 49ers went defensive back, too. So there was maybe a feeling that if you didn't move up, he was going to be gone. And so they used the fifth rounder from the 26th draft to get him.
And let me say this, guys, and we're not there yet, but if things go as planned, right, forget about the Cousins thing because that was supposed to be a bridge anyway. We're very young. Like this idea that we need 15 more picks next year, we don't. If everybody pans out, if everything works the way we think, again, you're still talking about Rook and Trice and all these guys in their second year. Now you're adding Jalen Walker and Pierce and Watts and both. Like, all of a sudden, Mike, you've just gotten extremely young on defense, right? And I said this, the team speed has been upped, the playmaking, all of the things that matter. I'm not looking to have 20 picks next year. I'm okay with it. Can we go to the playoffs? These guys play a lot. They grow. We see the growth, Mike, and all of a sudden we're getting after the quarterback.
Right.
Can we do those things?
Now, again, it's funny because all the guys, it's some of these Falcon fans must be Braves fans as well, which is cool because we are in Atlanta. But you get so worried about the depth chart. Well, what happens to Troy? I don't care what happens to Troy Anderson. I hope he stays on the team and I hope he stays healthy.
But the best guys out there.
I mean, it's going to be a depth chart. And as we said, he's going to be an edge. So Troy Anderson technically still has a job.
He does.
You know, I mean, we know what this team is capable of. Unfortunately, defensively was just incredibly inconsistent. We know that once Raheem Morris kind of took over from Jimmy Lake, certain areas improved. Corners, unfortunately, kind of went backwards at times. But you've got guys that are still on this roster. I'm looking forward to seeing what Braylon Trice is going to be. You know, yes, technically, this is a tough day for Braylon Trice. Knowing that you got a guy as a top 15 pick in Jalen Walker who's going to do probably a better job of what he was expected to do.
Well, Jalen,
he's got to prove it.
Jalen is obviously going to start, Mike. Pierce, look, he may be a rotational guy. And I say that to start. Don't misunderstand me. I know you guys are going, wait a minute, it's a first-round pick. My point is, depending on situation, sometimes you can have different packages. And, Mike, I don't know what that's going to look like. That's why this is fun for Jeff Ulbrich to say, here's where I'm going to use Pierce. Here's where I'm going to use Bryce. Maybe they're on the field all at the same time.
Right. And it's funny because we were talking about this earlier in the week on Friday's show. And guys, like, well, you change your tune on the draft pick. Look, at first, I was a little surprised. Like a lot of folks and folks who don't like it are still surprised about moving up to get Pierce. Josh Kendall was kind of lukewarm on it. I wanted Ezeraku or Mike Green. Mike Green goes to the Ravens. The Ravens didn't have any qualms about his personal issues or whatever it was or wasn't. But now, as we said, he's got to be that guy because at the end of the day, I understand the logic behind it, but you still move some pieces, and you moved a lot of value to get him. So he's got a ball.
All right, more to get to, guys. Coming up, we're going to talk to our man Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Also, more on the Falcons. We got some guy talk on the way too. Mike asked me when I came in. He said, "Did you see the interview?" I said, "What interview?" He's like, "You missed the interview." I'm like, "What interview?" Wait until you hear about this interview over the weekend. It's fascinating, guys. That is on the way coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. 404-726-0929. Poll questions up to Falcons are not punished, won't be punished in any way, and they're not doing anything towards Jeff Ulbrich. So that is the good news when the fallout in this prank call from his son to Shedeur Sanders. So we're asking you about it, and you can go vote. Yes or no, do you feel okay with that? Mike said it best. I just didn't want, when this first happened, I was like, please don't be taking draft picks.
Yeah, I mean.
Don't punish us that way.
And look, I get it. I've seen like Emmanuel Acho, a bunch of guys on Twitter, you know, there's got to be okay, so define a consequence for a prank phone call. Like, I get it. As I said to Carl, it's not like when I was a kid, we were 10, and you call the liquor store and go, hey, you got Johnny Walker in a bottle? You better let him out. I mean, this is a guy, it's one of the busiest, stressful weekends of this guy's life. And just because you didn't like the way he approached the draft, I don't think, obviously, makes an excuse for you to treat him like that. There were other, by the way, there were multiple prank calls. We're aware, and again, I just want to get it right, because people are just piling on. I mean, it shouldn't be any worse than it already is for Jack Solbrick, but he was only involved with one, not the other ones.
All right, we're coming back. Connor Riley next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.